Well, I have a wonderful electronic invention I want you to see. It looks something like you.
Hey, what's up, Curiosity Builders? I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative professionals and entrepreneurs looking to grow, not only by learning new things, but by connecting their work to big ideas and overcoming the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. In today's interview episode of Getting Work to Work, I have a chat with Peter Lang, CPA, accountant, and owner of the Designer CPA, about taxes, finances, and what creative professionals need to do on a regular basis to be financially successful. We touch on the importance of communication, confidence, and value, as well as what it means to work on your business, not just in it. Show notes and links for this episode can be found at gwtw.co/218. So, Peter, welcome to Getting Work to Work. Why don't you start with sharing a little bit about who you are and how you came to be known as the Designer CPA?
Sure. So, my name is Peter Lang, and I'm the founder of the Designer CPA. We are a virtual CPA firm that strictly works with business owners in the design industry. And just to kind of give you a quick story on how that happened, I've been an accountant for about 17 years, kind of just always did more tax work, worked at big regional firms, small places. And then I realized I wanted to always own my own business. So I decided to do that and then started to get bored with that for a little while and said, what's more exciting? What can I do a little different? So I just tried to find a niche so I could kind of provide more year-end services, more valuable services besides just a tax return. And I just kind of reviewed my clients and just kind of figured out which ones that I got along with the best. And most of them were designers. So that's kind of how it all started. It kind of was right in front of my face after I did that little exercise.
That's awesome. What was it about the designers that made it easy to work with? Like, are you naturally creative, or was it just the work they were doing?
I think I wouldn't call myself naturally creative, because at the end of the day, I'm still an accountant. but it just, you know, like, I just think that a lot of my creative designer clients were stronger in that, and they would admit that they were weaker in the financial accounting tax side. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to say they appreciated advice more than other clients in other industries, but they had more questions and were kind of looking for more of a team player advisor throughout the year on a variety of different things. Mm-hmm. So the work was a little bit more exciting because you never really knew what kind of questions or issues would pop up.
Yeah, that's awesome. So one of the things that's interesting is when you think about creative professionals, which, you know, designers fall into that category, creative professionals being kind of like an overarching description for designers, filmmakers, photographers. But what aren't art schools teaching them about taxes and financial responsibilities?
I mean, I think it's all schools for all people. We could all probably use more financial just education in schools, right? So they're probably teaching you how to do creative projects and design projects, but the business aspect of it, even the simple things like having enough money in your account to pay your bills, mm-hmm. or making sure that you're actually making the amount of money that you deserve for the valuable work you give your clients, mm-hmm. Are just a couple of simple things that it would be nice to have more personal, financial, even budgeting, business, cash flow type of stuff. Yeah. That would, I think, go a long way versus just like, I own a business and now I'm trying to do all the work, but now I gotta deal with the financial aspect of it, whether I like it or not.
Yeah. Is that something in your role as both accountant and sounds like financial advisor that you really help them see that bigger picture?
Yeah. So we do a lot more budget cash flow conversations. Mm. than a typical traditional accounting firm would. We, on a minimum, we meet with our clients quarterly just to, so there's no tax surprises, but more than that, we kind of go over the numbers and figure out certain things, because certain designers bill in such a way that they'll, you know, maybe accept money for a whole project up front, and then they have to allocate that money based on where it needs to go, and also not, you know, spend the money that's going to go somewhere else in the future and that kind of thing. So communication is a big thing that I think we have to do more of than maybe that traditional accountant that you might only hear from once or twice a year.
Right. That was actually going to be a question that I had for you too, is because I get together with my accountant once a year. But as you know, I was reading through your stuff, it's really describing this partnership where you mentioned quarterly, but is it project-based as well, where you get a big project and you meet with your accountant team so that you can understand the what's going to happen?
Yeah, that's so sometimes people will want to only talk a couple of times a year because they just don't want to deal with the financial spot. That's why we say you have to meet with us at least quarterly. We make them do it. And then there's other people that are like, you know what, like it's probably best that we meet monthly, because it just, like, on the 15th of the month, if we set that up and I know I'm talking to you guys once a month, then I'll feel comfortable knowing that I'm getting continuing advice as my business either grows or, you know, maybe projects aren't coming in. How are we going to, you know, deal with paying next month's bills, that kind of stuff. So it's more of a reassurance for all of us, I think. It's always nice to be in communication with your clients all the time. Because if you talk to your clients once a year, I think, like, so after like 9 months of not talking to someone, it's like, I wonder if they're still, are they still one of my clients? I'm not really sure. I guess I'll wait and see if they call me when they need their tax return done. So encouraging people to communicate more kind of makes them feel more comfortable, I think grows trust. And then maybe if there's something going on there in their life that I need to know about, that maybe they're like, well, I don't need to tell my accountant that. You're more likely to share that, so that if you can do it, get advice throughout the year, you're going to be able to get that.
Yeah. I like what you just said, though. You're really about not only building trust, but removing the fear that comes, I think, with, you know, accountants and finance when you don't understand the concepts.
Yep. And that's the biggest thing that I've learned, is that maybe that there is more fear with business owners in the design industry because it's not their number one strong suit. Because I always said, if I had to paint something for a client, or if I had to design a room, if I was an interior designer, as an accountant, I would be freaking out, because I'd be like, well, I don't, you know, I'm going to tell them something and the room's going to come out awful, you know, like it's the same way. So if we can stay calm and talk about things and know that, you know, no matter how many times you have to ask a question, we're always available to give you answers, that grows trust after a while. And then hopefully within, you know, a couple of months of a new relationship, that client is feeling like, hey, I'm totally comfortable with this person. I trust them. I can ask them for a third time and I know they're not going to yell at me or anything like that.
So when you're working with your clients, what kind of patterns do you see that are misunderstandings about money and budgets?
A lot of times a client will say to me, I can look at the reports, but I still don't know how much money I need to consistently keep my business open. That's the biggest thing. It's just like, I have no idea how much money I need in an account to survive my business and that kind of stuff. So we do help them figure that out so that they have some sort of idea, like, okay, if I charge $5,000 for a project and I know I need at least $30,000 to keep my business open, I better get at least six projects a month, or else I'm working for free, basically, and racking up debt. So that's the biggest thing, is just kind of helping them realize exactly what the expenses are that they need and then how much work that they need to stay open.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like when you're making all of the money at the beginning, if you don't have a budget for the bigger picture, you can get in trouble fast.
Oh, yeah. If you spend that money that needs to get spent on something else and it's gone, then you're either not going to get it, you're going to have to use money that's coming in for something else, or you're racking up big credit card bills, or you're taking a loan out and now you're stuck with a loan with interest and you're already falling behind. So pretending that that money isn't exactly yours is the key to go.
Yeah, it's interesting as you're describing that. One of the traps that I've personally fallen into at times, and I know other people have as well, is just, all right, I've got bills to pay, so I'm going to go land a couple more projects to get that deposit in so that I can pay bills. And so you almost end up getting into trouble by taking on all this work instead of charging enough to where you can, you know, not have to do that and get your work done in a timely manner and have a schedule of payments, if that makes sense.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, because then if you're doing it like how you started with saying, that becomes like a vicious cycle that that never ends.
Yeah, and it probably drives tax professionals crazy.
Well, it can be frustrating when, you know, you have a client, they say, I don't have any money, but then they didn't pay money and now they owe a big bill and there's no money. So they get frustrated and they can yell at you. That's really a bad situation for both parties. And that's kind of how we came up with the idea to implement, like, you have to talk to us at least quarterly.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've had clients say their accountants yell at them. And then I've had accountants say, well, you know, my client blamed me for that, but I told them three times and they didn't listen type of thing. So the more communication that you have, the less surprises that will come out, hopefully.
Yeah. There's this conception that if a creative professional or an artist charges for money for their work, or you can even read that as you charge too much money, that they are selling out. Why is this such a prevailing story, do you think? And how can a relationship with a firm like yours help them craft a new story about finances and financial responsibility?
I think we get that in a lot of different industries as well. Sometimes people will say to me, like, when I realized my prices were too low and I tried to go up, they would say the same thing to me. You're selling out, but you're worth it. I mean, you're doing great work and you're working hard and you deserve to get what you deserve. So it's just a matter of, you know, and it's hard because, you know, we all go through it, but convincing yourself you're worth it and not giving in to that pressure of you're a sellout. You know, if someone is struggling with that, like, I can't mark up my product, I have to just work by the hour or something like that. We say, well, we try to say there's other people that are doing it like that and they are succeeding and they're saying no to those people who are saying to you, you have to work and you don't want to sell out, you know, so as scary as it is, I have to work. I have to, you know, I need to maybe, you know, do a project for free or hardly charge anything. And then that way I'm building my portfolio. I mean, it's all a matter of confidence and knowing that if you say no, that is hopefully opening the door to someone who does appreciate your work and will pay you what you deserve.
Yes.
And that will come along at some point.
That's powerful. How do you have the conversation around value with your customers? Is it a challenge to get designers to see value at times?
I think that most of the time they find themselves to be valuable. They believe that the value that they're giving the client is there. I think the trip up comes when it's a matter of, okay, now I have to convince that client that I'm giving them a value. So it's a give and take thing. But we kind of tell them that, you know, communicating from the start is the most important thing. So before they even agree to everything, just kind of giving that expectations on how their firm works or they work, what's to be expected from them. And then saying, and we do these things because we give you XYZ things and you do it from the start, then that's what the customer's going to expect. And then when you actually are doing those things that you promised, you're showing the value that, and they're getting that. If you agree to certain things the way that your customers are saying, and then maybe it's not as valuable as you think you deserve from the start, it's a lot harder to change. and convince that current client that you are giving them more value.
One of the biggest lessons that I learned running my business has been the difference between products and services according to the state that I live in. So that resulted in an audit and the pain that comes with that. Mm. And so how should creative professionals prepare themselves for this difference between retail and service-based taxes?
So I will start to say that, sales and use tax is one of the most complex parts about taxes. And the reason why is because every jurisdiction, the states and local, and everyone has their own rules. So it can be about where your project is, where your office is, and that kind of stuff. It gets very complicated. So that's where I say you don't want to do things on your own when it comes to that stuff. Investing in someone who can help you in that goes a long way, because paying someone or an app or something like that that's giving you valuable advice on doing it right is a heck of a lot better than trying to do it yourself, trying to understand it yourself, and then getting audited after the fact. So
yeah. Or even not realizing the rules have changed to the point where, the rules changed in 2008 and I've been operating as if nothing has changed.
And as these states and local jurisdictions, they get more desperate for money, things are changing all the time. It's a complex thing to keep up with, and it's a pain.
How has things like remote work and being able to work globally affected your work as a tax accountant?
Being able to work remote, so I can look at it in two different ways, your question. Like, as far as the people that I'm able to work with, remote has been awesome, because it gives me the ability to take clients all over the country and get to know them and still give them the valuable connection that I give the client that lives down the road. But as far as like business owners are concerned and working online, it's certainly made it a lot more complex as you dabble in, all sorts of jurisdictions.
Yeah.
So it's made it a lot more fun and a lot more painful depending on what you're talking about. And like we said, the rules are changing all the time as people are able to do more, right? So the different jurisdictions are figuring that out, and they're changing their laws all the time to try to collect based on that.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, it's fascinating to see how things shifted since I started doing this in 2006, and how just different things, whether it's a digital product, whether it's, a tangible product, intangible products. I mean, there's so much to wrap my mind around. And then, to think that I could understand everything is just almost laughable at this point. So I'm glad to know that there are places focused on creative businesses such as yours that can remove that need to really have to do it yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So one of the things that I discovered is that you wrote an ebook that provides a profitability roadmap. So what are some of the steps on that journey of profitability that you write about?
One of the things that we talk about is not doing everything on your own, which is easier said than done, right? I mean, we're a business owner, and you start out and you're wearing all the hats, but one of the first things that we talk about is just working on your business instead of it. So being able to invest in different people who are experts in other things or who can help you do the day-to-day work so that you're thinking about growing your business and getting good clients that fit your vision, right? We talk about that, and we also talk about making sure that you're actually paying yourself for working. So, a lot of people will say, well, I'm just starting out and my expenses are more than I'm making, but it's because I'm starting out. And then before they know it, after like 2 or 3 years, it's like, well, I've been working my butt off with this business and I still haven't made any money. We talk about that to teach people how to strive to make the money yourself for the work that you do. Yeah. And then we kind of just talk a little bit about how to budget that money. Like we said, like budgets and cash flow projections, and just making sure that you're using the money that comes in the appropriate places.
So which step do you find the most challenging for yourself?
Oh, I still work in my business way too much. So I talk the talk, but I still don't walk the walk all the time. It's hard to do, especially if you started out for a certain amount of time, always doing everything. I think that's hard for any business owner, is like giving up those tasks that you know that you shouldn't be doing because you can provide more value to grow the business doing something else. It's almost like I have to coach myself and say, someone else can do this. Hmm. You can spend your time doing something else. So that's the biggest one for me.
What does it mean for you to work on your business, not in your business? If you could just kind of define that in your terms a little bit, because I hear that a lot, which is great.
What I mean by working on my business is thinking about the core values and the vision and the goals of where you want to be and how you're going to get there. So what's the perfect client for me? How much money do I want to see myself making over a certain amount of time? All those things take time and you need to spend time doing it. And working in my business is, I'm going to prepare that tax return. Or if you're a designer and you own your business, I'm going to try to reconcile my bank account instead of letting my accountant do it because it'll save me money. Well, by paying someone to do it instead, having an office manager or someone like that, an accountant, a bookkeeper doing that instead, now you can spend time either going to a networking event or talking to someone or just figuring out what it is that you want to see your business look like in 3 months, 6 months, a year, whatever it is amount of time. So that's the biggest difference between the two. You want to try to spend more time figuring out where you want your business to be versus, well, like in the accounting world, they talk about like keeping your head down and just typing away, trying to get tax returns out the door, that kind of thing.
Awesome. Thank you for that description of on versus in. I think that's helpful for a lot of people just to think beyond just head down, task oriented, just do what needs to be done today, but thinking big picture. So thank you for that.
I would say the biggest thing is in order to start to be able to think more like that, I do two things that I've learned. One is block time on my calendar, have a consistent time, maybe like a Tuesday morning, even if it's like an hour or two, where it's like, I am going to work on my business for this amount of time. And the other thing is it takes time to find someone that you can trust enough where you've kind of laid the groundwork and given them the steps so that they can do the work that would be more valuable if you weren't doing. They can do that and you've grown trust knowing that you can spend time out of the business working on your business and knowing that him or her is actually getting what you would have been doing done. So it takes time to grow trust, and it also takes time to get into that habit of, okay, on Tuesday morning, I'm going to work on my business instead of in my business.
You've mentioned a lot of kind of tactics and strategies for, you know, improving your business. But if you were to kind of summarize, what's one change either in mindset or action that can affect change in a creative professional's business and really enhance their profitability roadmap?
I would say whether you're doing this alone or you're working with an accountant, the biggest change you can do is to really analyze how much money over a given period of time is going out the door. A lot of times people will think like, well, if I want to grow my business, I got to increase my revenue by XYZ amount. But if you also look at, because it's surprising, you know, when you do this, you never really know. And then it's like, oh, we're spending money on that. When you really like analyze everything and figure out if you really need it or if you could negotiate a lower price or whatever, even if you don't grow your business revenue wise, you cut those expenses over a certain amount of time and your profit is going to go up, which basically means you can pay yourself more for the work that you're doing.
What's interesting, as you were describing that, I was thinking about even little things like subscription-based pricing, where you're spending a certain amount a month. So for example, you know, I pay $10 a month for like a font service. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, that's still $120, you know, a year for one thing that's used very little. You know, multiply that by all of the per month things and how much of it is actually being used. So it's really good to think about, I think, even just the little things that add up over time.
Absolutely. And when we do help our clients with this, I actually did this a couple of weeks ago with someone, and she said to me, oh, I forgot that we even, you know, get charged for that thing that we use like one time. And now I realize, I'm like, well, if it's important to you, keep it. And they're like, no, we don't even use it. We just cut like $120 a year out for that. And that's, you know, it's not big numbers, but it's a big deal. You do that a couple of times and, you know, you're either your bank account looks a little bit better, or you were able to, you know, pay yourself out a little bit better.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's amazing what we treat like gym memberships now in a digital economy.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. And it's on us to use that thing and try to get the most value out of it.
So one of the things that you mentioned was your dream was to run your own firm. And now that you're going after the dream, how has reality lined up with what you dreamed about?
It depends on the day, I always say. So I know one thing, and I don't, and it'd be interesting, like if you're listening to this and you own your own business, I know for a fact that I could never go back to, you know, being an employee and working for someone. Mm-hmm. And I knew I always wanted to do this, but it's funny that when you finally reach your dream and you're in it, most of the time I think, well, I didn't think it was going to be like this, or I didn't think it was going to be this hard. I was going to have to deal with all these things at the same time. Mm-hmm. But every time I've ever gotten frustrated about that, thinking about that, I've even gotten so frustrated that I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to go look at job listings and see. And I can't even bear to, I'm like, oh no. I mean, I literally up all night, like not even applying for the job, just up all night thinking about like what would happen if I had to go somewhere to do an interview. And I'm like, no, I'm doing it. I'm doing it the way that I want to do it. As hard as it is, it's still, you know, at the end of the day, one of the most exciting things that I've been able to do in my life.
Nice. Well, what's one book or resource that you think every creative professional or person in the world should read?
Well, I mentioned one book, The E-Myth Revisited. Mm-hmm. That's a good one for business owners, no matter what industry you're in, to kind of just learn more about how to successfully grow a business so that you're not always working in it, like we talked before. And then another good read, if you are someone who knows that they want to make more profit, but mm-hmm. You don't want to like open an accounting book either. Like that, you know, that's extremely boring. There's a book called Profit First. It's a good read for that. Like, you know, they give you some good ideas on how to manage money and hopefully be able to earn the profit that you're looking for. And you're, like I said, you're not opening up a book and then all of a sudden after five pages, you're like, no, like I'm not an accountant. I don't want to read something like that. So.
Awesome. Well, Peter, where can people learn more about you and the work that you do with the Designer CPA?
Sure. So our website is thedesignercpa.com, and we are on Instagram and Facebook. You can find us at the Designer CPA as well.
Well, thank you so much for your time sharing about taxes, profitability, building your business. It's been a real pleasure to kind of just have this conversation because it's very valuable and it's needed in the creative community. So thank you.
Thanks, Christopher. I appreciate you having me on.
That does it for this episode of Getting Work to Work. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It means a lot to me that you do. Would you be willing to share Getting Work to Work with your friends, other creative professionals, and entrepreneurs? You can send them to gwtw.co or have them search for Getting Work to Work on most podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. Would you like to be a guest on a future episode of Getting Work to Work, or know someone who should be on the show? Maybe you need some advice, encouragement, or just want someone to say hi to. Drop me a line by sending me an email. I'm Chris at chrismartinstudios.com, or you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at CM Studios. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.